Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio on Zoom by my good friends, my partners in radio, my partners in technology, Barnabas Piper, Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we had some tech issues this morning in our in our respective studios. Ronald, your computer is dying. I assume this is the $20,000 MacBook Air you bought 6 months ago, or is this an older model?
Yeah, I mean, it's a few years old. It's hit its 3 years old, no good anymore for anybody, Mark.
Yeah, baby, no, I'm using a Dell that's been working for about 7 years. I don't know what's going on there.
I got nothing for that.
I think the life of a computer goes down commensurate with, like, how many, like, travel bags it gets stuffed into, you know, multiple times a year. So...
I should be grateful this lasted 3 years then, right?
Yeah, no kidding, dude. You're looking at about 3 months on your next comp.
This is like, I have like the dog years of computer stuff going on right now.
No, it's unbelievable, dude. Yeah, unbelievable what your computers deal with all the comps and travel that they're put through. But baby, we're glad to have you here on Zoom. We're going audio only this morning. Our boy wanted to go video, but we clicked out. We got audio only.
Yeah, there's some psychology behind why we've never done video. I'd love to unpack that someday.
Maybe we can unpack. You want to go now? You want to go a couple minutes on that now?
I don't know. It's just so weird that, like, most people probably don't know that we never look at each other while we do. And there's something fascinating about that. Because here's the thing, like, in the world of Zoom, that's the thing I hated about it. That's what I hate about it the most, is that I have to look at myself talking, and there's nothing worse than that for me, right? And
yeah, so, dude, I agree 100%. Like, I know what you guys look like, and I know what I look like. Why do we got to look at each other? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it almost changes what I say when I'm looking at myself say it.
Totally. Totally.
Again, there's psychology there. I get it. There's all kinds of weird stuff going on with that.
What would you say if we were on video?
What do you mean?
You said it changes what you say. I'm wondering what we're missing.
Oh, I mean, I would just be... I feel so much more inhibited when I'm looking at myself. I don't feel free. I feel like I don't want to talk. I don't want to open my mouth because I don't like how I look. And so it's all of that.
Baby, you don't like how you look? I find that hard to believe, honestly. I mean, you sent out the Christmas poster a couple of years ago.
We're getting into I need to lay down on a couch. And you guys, you know, we need to be in like the CCEF National.
Yeah, baby, you need to swipe your insurance card on the way into this thing. We're going to give you some therapy.
Much. Yeah, and
we're going to send you a Rachel Hollis book.
I'm going to send you whatever your counseling fee is. Obviously,
Baby, you know what? Listen, if you're a mess and you're disorganized, you're still beautiful. Okay.
You know There's a woman named Rachel that would like to tell me that.
Yeah, right. I know it, baby, and I want to tell you that too.
Well, no, she really wants to tell your wife that her husband would like to tell you that you are beautiful and, you know, keep pressing on or whatever his book was. But
wait a minute, Pipe. So that's right. Rachel Hollis's dude has a book as well.
That's right. Yeah. Riding wifey's coattails.
Boy, wash your face or boy interrupted or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Dude, what do we know about it? Do we know anything about it? Because I'm looking it up right now. What's this guy's name?
Rachel Hollis husband.
Ray Hollis.
Ray Hollis.
Dave. Dave Hollis.
Of course his name's Dave. I have no idea why.
He is the CEO of the Hollis Company.
Oh, whoa, now everything's coming together for me with what you just said, Pipe.
The book is called Get Out of Your Way or something. Get Out of My Way.
Get Out of Your Own Way. Yes.
Dude, the Hollis brand is strong.
Ronnie, you need to get out of your own way, Ronnie.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
Dude, look at the hair on this guy. Are you seeing this, Piper? The, like, wall of hair? It looks like when I was a little kid, I used to be interested in, like, tidal waves. You know what I mean? Like, tsunamis that would, like, wash up on the beach and I'd look at pictures.
Wasn't there a book we had to read in, like, elementary reading class about a tsunami hitting Japan? I feel like that was one that was as part of, like, our reading challenge.
His hair looks like that tsunami. You know what I mean? Like it's like if the forehead's the beach, the hair is the tsunami. Look at
obviously, like
guy.
Dave hasn't quite made it as big as Rach because, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I didn't even know that was his name until now.
He's the operations guy of their empire. He's, you know, he's the CEO.
The Hollis Co. is what I'm looking at.
She's the talent, the face, the product. He is the operations guy. It's really a match made in heaven.
It really
guys,
is.
Can we go like 2 minutes on the Hollis Co. just as a thing?
I mean, only 2 minutes? Roll with
I'm
it.
Looking at this website, and I'm looking at a link called Hollis U, which I assume is short for Hollis University. Are they starting their own college? Okay, I'm hovering over it. It looks like you can get coaching, Rachel Hollis life coaching, or Rachel Hollis business coaching. And Dave offers the same things. Now,
Big T, I'm in, man. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, baby, do you want me to click on life coaching? Let's see what Dave offers there. Oh, look at this guy, dude.
He used to be with Disney Distribution, which may explain how she got her enormous book deal.
He looks like a Disney character.
I'm looking at people also searching after I searched for Dave Hollis. And we got a little, remind me to tell you something about Jen Hatmaker that happened to me in Target last weekend.
Yeah, baby, I want to hear all about that. I'm looking at this picture of Dave Hollis on life coaching. It's black and white. He's sitting at a repurposed wood barn door desk with the requisite forearm tattoo. I can't tell what it says.
Is he trying to be like a Donnie Miller? Is that like the deal? Is that his?
Well, dude, I don't know. He's got the Nashville glasses on. He's got the real severe kind of like part and the tsunami of hair and a tiny little computer. And this is what I need your help on, boys. Okay. Just to like screen right of the computer. So it'd be Dave's left. It's what looks to be a abandoned stack of money. Are you guys seeing that?
Wait, where
no, I don't know where you're at.
I'm on thehollisco.com.
Got it. I'm on
/pages/ Dave Hollis Life Coaching.
Okay. All right. We gotta go.
Oh, this is the best thing ever. So is the subtext there like, I can help you get a stack of money, like the one that's just to the left of my computer?
Yes.
I mean, I would hope. I would hope that's the. I mean, if we're gonna life coach. Can we bring a little cachet into it, Big T?
Dude, what's the over-under on, like, number of minutes I could spend with this guy before wanting to punch him in the neck?
I think it was before we started this episode. So what are we at, like, negative 11?
Exactly. Can I look at this guy's video? I'm just going to play this. So apologies if the audio gets weird. I'm just playing it. Let's see what happens.
Oh, so it's the black and white. It got all already when I clicked on life coaching with Dave Hollis.
Are you guys hearing the audio that I'm hearing?
I'm not hearing it.
No.
Okay.
It's pumping through your headphones, which is means it's great for the podcast.
Dude, this dude's doing the whole like, and I've noticed this with middle-aged men. He's wearing the dress shirt and he's unbuttoning the first few buttons so that you could see a lot of his chest.
And you see his tattoo when he's
you see his tat him. When he rolls the sleeves up.
It looks like he's sitting in like Chip and Joanna Gaines' living room, and you see his tattoo.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
I want to be yachtsman.
Yes.
Well, dude, you know I'm unbuttoning
your shirt. Yachtsman.
This guy's not a wannabe yachtsman. This guy's a real yachtsman, the kind of money they're making.
Yeah, when Rachel's book hit 1 million sold, I think that yacht was probably purchased immediately.
Boys, what are the odds we could go to Hollis University? We could get it underwritten by a sponsor, and we could get some life coaching from this guy.
Any chance that sponsor could just give us that cash and we don't have to go to Hollis U?
Exactly.
I feel like that might be a win-win.
Is there ever space? Here's I've always wanted to know this, man. Is there ever space when you are out there, you know, whatever you spend on getting our sponsors 40, 50 hours a week, like, is there ever space to pitch it as, hey, we're going to brutally make fun of your product, but that's also good promotion. So if you kind of like that angle of it, like, this could be a good thing for you. Do you think anybody would ever buy into that aspect of it?
No, because, well, maybe. Maybe if we are promoting like another podcast or something.
Depending
like
on the product is what you're saying.
But the thing is, like, publicists for publishers tend to be very sincere people. And so, like, they're the ones who email me and they're like, we have the perfect book for your listeners and the author should come on your show too. And at which point I look and it's, you know, Rachel Hollis Light. And I know that they A, don't have any idea who we are, and B, are really, they would never buy the idea of like, how about we do this and you pay us and then we just make fun of it for 4 weeks.
Hey, I've got an update. I'm on the Hollis Co. shop right now. Ooh. We could get Hollis Co. hats, boys. They've got like Hollis Company, like dad hats that we could get for $25.99. So yeah, we'll have to get on a payment plan for those. But yeah, Hollis Co. hats. Now, I've got a question.
What kind of hats are they? I'm jumping back on the site. I need to look.
Dude, they look like dad hats, like that low profile.
Like the low profile?
Yeah,
which means it's the kind of hat that somebody like Dave Hollis would wear backward on all their Zoom videos.
That's true, dude. That's true.
100%.
No, but that would... How would he get that low profile? I've got a physics issue with that, because how does the low profile, like, there's not enough fabric to cover the tsunami of hair.
Oh, but the tsunami of hair is artificially inflated by high-end products.
That's
so
true.
You know,
that's true.
If he has gone a couple of days without showering, as one does when you're very earth conscious, or if you have just showered and haven't put anything in your hair, you can smash that down underneath, and then you get the little flip of hair that comes out the strap in the front when you're wearing it backwards.
Yeah,
it's really quite perfect.
I got a couple questions, man. Like really two, and one of them is going to segue us into Ron's thing about Jin Hackmaker. How many, like, what kind of fights do you think the Hollises have? Because you know that Rachel's real intense. Do you think she's like throwing plates at this guy? Like, I feel like she could rip your face off in a fight.
Let me couch a scenario, and then you tell me what the fight looks like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So CEO Dave was formerly of Disney Distribution before he left to be
wait,
the CEO.
What?
What's that?
I know, I'm like, wait, what? Really?
Yeah, he used to be with the Disney company.
Wow.
And so he left to be the CEO of Hollis Company. I think there was also his position there may have been what put her in a position to get the big book deal, because they were able to kind of work out some behind the scenes stuff, all legal, but very much business deal-y kinds of things.
So this has been like a team project for them, the Hollis Company.
Or has it? Because here's the fight that I anticipate. She is the one who goes, I am the talent and I'm the reason these books sell. And he's the
absolutely
one who says, yeah, but you wouldn't have a book deal without me. Fight ensues. Now you guys get to paint the picture of what this fight looks like.
So Pipe, yeah, so dude. For me with, so yeah. So for me, what you're describing is this could be a beautiful relationship, as Humphrey Bogart said, with the exception that it looks like Dave kind of wants to have his own career. So if Davey was just the behind the scenes, like I'm making sure the empire, you know, continues to run as it needs to run, and Hollis is the talent and the face. That sounds like a beautiful friendship. But the fact that Dave wants to do, of all things, coaching, and to kind of establish his own, you know, reputation and his own star, that just seems like a recipe for we're competing. We have competing egos now, is what that is.
Dave doesn't know his place, man. He's flying too close to the sun right now.
One could say that, Big T.
That's I am saying it. I'm going on record as saying it.
One could casually mention that in a podcast.
Baby, they do arena shows too. It's called Rise. I'm looking at Rise.
Wait a
right
minute,
now.
Like they, the two. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so dude. The two of them contribute.
Arena shows, man.
How much you want to bet it starts with that Rise Up song? I don't remember who did it, but it was like the big pop hit from a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. I know what you're talking about.
It just sounds like all the other pop hits, but it's the Rise Up song.
Dude,
listening know the one I'm talking about.
But guys, they have a whole the Rise thing is like a whole host of authors, speakers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's John Maxwell, Hollis, Jin Hackmaker, Donald Miller.
Oh, man, I'm inspired just listening to the names.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's lively.
Swoon.
Boys, it's lively.
Dude, that's like everyone I can't stand all in one place. That would be amazing.
And generally, this includes a happy hour and a dance party, FYI. You know?
A dance party. Incredible. Dude, somebody needs to send me to that and then set the over-under on like how many minutes I could sit in there and stomach it until I
leave. We talked about pre-show prep. Why don't we do a little recon every once in a while? We'll send you out, Big T. Then you come
send
back.
Send me out, dude.
And this will be like three eps for us.
I would
absolutely
consider finding a sponsor for that if you would be willing to get on Twitter and live tweet it.
I would, dude. I would do it for work reasons, for the show. I mean, I'm a part of Happy Rant Co. I'm the chairman of the boat division, and I take that very seriously.
We know you do.
If we were a company, what would be our respective roles? Like, we've got, you know, CEO, CFO, chief marketing officer, chief information officer, like,
yeah.
division. Like, what are our respective roles?
Mm, that's a great question.
And how do we do this without having a parting of ways?
Yeah, we got to get a flow chart going. We got to write on glass in our offices and have some arrows. Cast some vision about this. No, I think I'm chairman of the boat division. That feels right to me. Chief yachtsman. I don't know. What's Ronald? Ronald's he's whatever the position is in the company pipe that gets to like travel all the time.
Chief, he's like chief ideator or something chief, like that.
Yeah, some BS like chief futurist. You know, like
yeah. Okay.
He just gets to travel, cast the vision, do the Yoda tweeting for the company.
I'm the guy. I'm the reticent. We don't really know what he does, but he's
You know what, Piper? He's the CYO, Chief Yoda Officer.
Ah, I he like does, it. He Chief handles, Yachtsman, Chief Yoda Officer, and I'm like the what? Chief do the stuff?
Chief do everything.
Marketing. You're the CMO. Exactly. You're obviously the CMO. That's not even the CFO too, Pipe, by the way.
That's true, dude.
That's a lot of power and also boring.
I know with great power comes great boredom.
That's true. With great power comes great boredom. That's good. That's corporate Yoda.
There's my CYO coming out.
That's corporate Yoda. I love it too. Dave Hollis could learn a lot from you. Maybe you need to get into coaching, baby.
You know, yeah. So I'm looking at the Rise, sort of the little thing that kind of plays like
the arena show. Yeah, the promo
looks like, and them jumping up and down looks kind of like a Hillsong worship service combined with like, you know, Rachel holding the hand of Dave and them like putting their fists up like we're dominating.
Dude, let me tell you something.
Clearly they are.
I don't ever want to see a grown man jumping up and down unless he's playing in the NBA. You know what I mean? I don't want to see a grown man jumping up and down in that way. It makes me feel sad.
I actually agree with you for once in terms of a sports analogy. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's just sensible.
When men high five, I'm ashamed to be a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the age at which, if you go to like a big youth conference, you know, and like the worst fans gets everybody jumping up and down, maybe even college students, like at what point does that become like, all right, y'all, no more?
I would say 11.
Okay.
Dude, 11, like that age, Piper, you were like this, I'm sure, and I was. Like that age, wherever you are, you're like jumping up to hit the door frame.
Yeah.
Just to like, show how high you can jump or whatever.
Why'd you leave me out of that, Pipe? I mean, Big T, I hit the door frame all the time when I was a kid.
That's
baby,
true,
you did not. You were a door frame guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fascinating.
Well, you were into what? Is it motocross or did I get the sport right?
Yeah. But dude, I played, but like I was a huge like basketball kid and and all that kind of stuff.
See, so that's crazy.
I had the door frame.
When did you get too cool for all that stuff?
Yeah, dude, I envisioned you in like a little black turtleneck, like sulking in the corner.
No, at 11, I got too cool for that because I just started racing motocross.
You discovered sulking.
I got arty and I discovered music and motocross and I didn't do Nerf.
Nerf basketball anymore?
Yeah.
Ah,
man, but, you know, those are the good times. That's in my life. And my life has been just that ever since, and I've been miserable. Anyway.
Well, it's been just a complicated mess.
It's been very complex.
Yeah, very, very complex. Very tortured.
Image-driven.
Yeah, that's right. Very image-driven. Very Yoda-driven.
Very Yoda-driven.
Careful. So, Dave Hollis is getting jealous, Ronnie.
Check this out. Let me tell you about this. This is going to be really short. This hatmaker thing was nuts, boys.
Oh, yeah.
It was bonkers. So I'm in Target the other day. And you know, they have like, if you're around like where they have all the media stuff, the iPads and everything, like they have like a big screen that kind of advertises like books and music and all of that. And hatmaker comes up and this thing's massive. It's like a massive, like 10 by 20 foot screen.
Right.
She's like, hey, everybody, my name's Jen Hatmaker. You know, she starts that whole thing. And number one, I was shocked that that's what Hatmaker looks like. So this is like this big HD screen, which never makes anybody look great, right?
Yeah.
But I was shocked because I'm like, okay, Hatmaker, that is not what you look like, your screenshot on Instagram or whatever it is, right? Like, didn't look like her at all.
Yeah.
And by look like her at all, I mean, she looked way older than she looks like in her, like, you know, on her Instagram.
Yeah.
and all that stuff. Anyway, so she made two comments about her new book, which is called like Fierce, Free, and Wild or something like that. You know, sounds like the name of every one of her books, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She boys, I'm not exaggerating. Literally, I'm just looking at this thing. And she made two comments which were so nuts to me. It was like, are you kidding me? She said this. She basically said, this, I believe, will be the most important book of your life. And number two, I believe because of that, you can change the world. I mean, I'm like, no expectations, Jenny. I mean, this is the most important book in the world, and you will be.
You will literally change the world as a result of reading this.
Well, if it's the most important book of the world in the world, you literally should be able to change the world after reading it, right?
Yeah, but that's right.
I'm just thinking, like, dude,
I don't actually think that's true. Even if it's the most important book in the world, you're still not going to change the world.
Yeah.
Like, just, nope, not going to happen. So the second part just doesn't follow the first, even if the first is true, which I'm skeptical of, by just a little skeptical.
But wait, I mean, so you're like, saying fierce and free isn't...
It's called like fierce and, fierce, free.
Fierce, and, free, and full of fire. I'm looking at it right
there
now.
There it is, full of fire.
Wild and fierce and at heart of
now, what
freedom.
Piper is claiming on record... is that this isn't the most important book ever written.
No. I'm claiming that you will not change the world. I'm skeptical that it's the most important
book. I think we all know, without juking anybody, I think we all know what the most important book in the world is, right? But
yes.
It's Jared C. Wilson's book, Satan, actually. Wait, no?
Was it Jeremy C. Wilson's book that I'm guessing you're co-authoring?
That I'm co-authoring, yeah, that we're working on right now, yeah. So, which is why I got to get off this call.
Just wait for it, man. He's going to do great things for your career just like I did.
Oh, dude, yeah, the Wilsons are going to take us straight to the top, baby.
But check it out.
How do I become like CMO of the Wilson Co.?
Dude, well, Ron's been working on that for years. Ask him.
No, I don't market for anybody but Big R. Let's just be honest.
That's true. You don't even retweet the Happy Rant account.
Yeah, so let's keep this real squared away,
baby. But, what if at Jared C wanted to like Yoda partner with you? What if he called you up and he's like, dude, I've been praying and thinking about this. I want to go partners with you in your Yoda work. Would you allow that, or is Yoda like proprietary for you?
I think it's a little more. I think that would be proprietary. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Because I'm very critical of my phrasings.
Yeah, the Yoda stuff, you make it look easy, but that stuff doesn't write itself.
Well, of course not. I mean, here's what I want to know, though. So,
yeah.
Dude, I get how marketing works, and I even get how it works, even though I haven't done it on the scale that Hollis is at. Like, I get how it works on that scale. So, in other words, like, Hatmaker didn't come up with this, I think this is the most important book in the world. She was given that to say, like, I get that. That's not
no,
the letter
I think
off the
she
hook.
Believes it.
Yeah, no, but that's not the letter off the hook. It's just to say, like, that's a, like, to be able to stand there in front of the camera and say that with absolutely no check inside, to me feels, I mean, to literally proclaim your book the most important book in the world, it's like, oh my gosh.
We need to start doing this, you guys. I mean,
like,
this is what
us saying this. I mean, I think we believe this, but this is the most important podcast.
Well, I do believe it.
Titling this episode "The Most Important Podcast." I'm writing it down right now, lest I forget what I believe.
That's marketing gold.
Episode of the most important podcast in .the.world.
Oh yeah. The dots are big right
now.
Dots
confuse SEO, so we're not going to do that.
Okay. That's good marketing input for Pipe.
You start throwing random characters in there, and the internet gets confused. So
that's why he's the CMO.
In the world,
the entire world.
Can we put history of the world? Like, for maybe, like, have all you, eternity?
You just said in the world.
Have you seen the copy on this thing, though? Can I read it out loud? Because I think after I read these two paragraphs.
You don't need permission, Big T. Just roll it.
Well, yeah. I think you guys are going to be chastened a little bit, and you're going to understand why this is the
wait, are you just saying our lives are going to be altered?
I think your lives are going to be altered by these two paragraphs.
You're
probably
preparing us right now is what you're doing.
I don't know. I don't want to set the bar too high. Here we go. This is official marketing copy on Fierce, Free, and Full of Fire. No more hiding or people-pleasing, sisters. No more being sidelined in your own life.
I feel so unheard.
Yeah, well, hang on, baby. There's
with
more.
With that sisters thing.
Yeah, well, it is. I think right now you're a sister, just in in terms of this. It is time for us to be brave, to claim our gifts and our quirks and our emotions. You are set free and set up. Hang on. You are set free and set up and set on fire. Like, do you want to be set on fire? I feel like that would be really painful.
I really don't. It's never been the way I've wanted to die, boys.
Well, dude, there was that Rage Against
the... This is a Hillsong event. I mean,
well, dude, do you remember the Rage Against the Machine?
Is there anything in there about rivers? Because then we're certain it is. We got set on fire and dancing rivers and stuff.
Well, dude, I just can't get the image out of my head of that guy who, like, set himself on fire. You know what I mean? And that didn't look like a nice thing. It looked
uncomfortable.
It looked really uncomfortable to me. So, okay, here's paragraph two. Are you with me, beloveds?
Beloveds.
Beloveds. If we do this work on our own selves now, not only will we discover a life truly worth living, but we will free our daughters to rise up behind us with spine straight, heads up, and coated in our strength. Coated. I don't want to be coated in anything. Being like coated.
Coated like the Matrix?
No, coated, like C-O-A. Oh, coated. C-O-A.
I thought you said coated. I was like, that, yeah. Either one's problematic.
You were thinking coated like it was...
The fact that you could use beloveds is plural.
Beloveds. And Piper, you were thinking coded in terms of like it's 2001 and there's just like numbers on the screen.
Yeah, like the yeah. Big and Brother has coded something into my brain.
C-O-D-E-D. Right. Yeah,
but in this context, it's coated like I'm standing there on stage and like yeah. She dumps like a bucket of her strength.
Like I'm yeah, like, an M&M pre-color.
Like
yes.
The Nickelodeon channel back in the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nickelodeon channel, like I'm coded in Jen Hatmaker's strength. This is amazing, boys. Dude, I'm in,
dude. So now it doesn't surprise you that she said this is the greatest book ever written. Babe. You know what I mean?
Well, dude, if a book can set me on fire and coat me into her strength, I'm in. Like I'm just 1,000%.
You think the coating puts the fire out?
I think the coating probably puts the fire out.
I think okay, so that you don't get burned by it.
There's a logical flow here that I'm following now.
I think the coating is fireproof.
Yeah, it's fireproof for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand the science behind all of it, boys.
Do you think we're going to take the same heat as the Babylon Bee did? So, like when they used to make fun of the Hatmaker clan, there was a lot of pushback. Do you think we're going to catch some heat this episode?
Who does the push? Who does really the pushback?
So. People who like her.
Yeah, but nobody in our circles. I mean, you're not. Yeah,
nobody in our circles likes her. Yeah, we're fine. And you know what?
Farewell, Jimmy.
What if we're coated in our own strength? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Jen Hatmaker is the greatest woman that has ever lived.
Hey,
who's the greatest?
Rachel Hollis takes issue with that.
Well, that's the thing. Who's the greatest marketer? If this was a marketing like cage fight,
among those conceived by men, Jen Hatmaker.
So they're basically
there is
the
no
same
greater woman.
They're basically the same person, right? Now, Piper, correct me if I'm wrong. Are they hitting the same demo? I mean, they're basically
100%.
100.
I think Hatmaker might be a little bit more unlike the I'm with you in your flaws sisters kind of thing, yeah, you know, like piles of laundry and gritty life and I'm not perfect and a little bit less unlike the overt inspiration, but it's the same audience.
So but, if I mean, I'm a rich...
Hollis is way bigger though, right, Pipe? I mean, she sold way more books.
Who's that?
Hollis has done way better commercially than Hatmaker, well, right?
Hatmaker started in like the Bible study realm. Like,
yeah,
think
she started
like,
before
like
Beth Moore, right?
Beth Moore Jr. Yeah. And then and has now moved into this realm, whereas Hollis just like cannonballed straight into the like every day of Friday, your best life now, girl, wash your face. Like they're kind of all the same thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Fascinating, boys.
Yeah, this is.
It's really fascinating.
Yeah, it really is, dude. So if I'm a rich Nashville housewife, Piper, like, who am I, knowing what you know about me and my persona, am I going to be team Hatmaker or team Rachel Hollis?
Hatmaker.
Interesting. Why? Suss that out.
Because of the flair of genuineness that that is missing from, like, even the people who are fooled by this will still think Hatmaker's a little bit more on the, like, one of us.
She's wiser, Pipe, right? She would be a little more like the kind of sage-like.
Like, she's a family person. So, like, she and her husband, like, they sort of raise their kids in a public manner so people can kind of see what it looks like to have the ebb and flow of life and all this, you know, like, the just there's a touch of normalcy there. And if you'd been following her for a while, like, you would probably be one of the hipster fans. So you're like, I was there before she got big. I was there when she was writing Bible studies for Lifeway. Sorry, Lifeway. I realize you've tried to scrub that from memory. Still exists. And so, you know, you'd be one of those and be like, man, I'm kind of tied to what, kind of like the way you guys are with movies, where, like, you go back to the movies that were formative in, like, 1994 or 1987 or whatever. And it, you know, there'd be a touch of that. And this flashy newcomer would be, like, intriguing, but not your jam.
So you're saying essentially I would be coded in Jen Hatmaker strength as opposed to, like, jumping up and down on a stage with Dave Hollis.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not jumping on any stages. I don't see you doing the coaching thing either. That doesn't strike me as likely.
Yeah, me neither, man. Me neither at the end of the day. We got to know our limitations. Boys, can I ask you a question about, so COVID-19, this pandemic it's created some weird.
Wait, pandemic? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. What? It's created some weird, like, media consumption trends in our house. And I've got a question related to, like, a junior varsity version of Jen Hatmaker and Rachel Hollis, but I want to get to that in a minute. But first, I want to talk about the fact that I think Netflix thinks we're Jewish. KK's obsessed.
We, all of us, or we, you?
No, we, yeah, me and Double K, because she's obsessed with, like, anything related to, like, Jewish culture. So, like, we've watched every, like, Jew related thing on Netflix, and it's been amazing by and large. We're watching this show right now called Shtissel, which is really, yeah, it's incredible television.
Does that include like Howard Weinstein movies, or was that his name? Harvey Weinstein movies.
No. Okay. I'm talking like movies about, like, Orthodox, like, Jewish culture. So, Netflix thinks we're Jewish. I've only listened to one song since the beginning of the pandemic.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
No. Have we talked about this? Have I gone into this?
No.
It's by a crappy 90s band called Eve 6.
Dude, oh, yeah. I remember Eve 6.
Yeah, you were aware of Eve 6. And they had, like, three hits, but I've been listening to Here's to the Night by Eve 6. I probably listened to it 94 times. And I've listened to no other music. I don't know what's going on there. So maybe...
Wow.
Yeah, maybe the therapy session can. Maybe we can hit that too.
Maybe like you do need that coaching. Like, you do need that coaching with Dave.
I need coaching with Dave Hollis. But KK has been listening to this podcast, and this is where the junior varsity Rachel Hollis thing comes in. By this Nashville woman called Annie F. Downs. Do you know who that is, Piper?
I do. I've been on her podcast before.
Yeah. Okay. So KK has been listening to this pod. And she co-hosts it with a guy. So it's some random guy. He's not married to her. He's married to somebody else. But he's got major vulnerability voice, right? So I'm listening to her listen to this, and I'm kind of goofing on this guy's vulnerability voice. And she's kind of defending this guy, right? So we've almost had stupid, like, marriage fights over this podcast a couple times for, like, no reason. But it made me – it got us into this discussion about vulnerability voice. And we set some more parameters on it. So it's almost always somebody aged like 35 or younger. So you don't get it above like age 35. And if you have any like dog in the social justice fight at all, or you're in like the humanities at all, if you're 35 or younger, it's almost a requirement to have vulnerability voice. Do you guys agree with me on that?
I 100% agree.
Okay. Pipe?
I'm sorry, I 100% agree.
See, that's why it doesn't totally work when you do it, Ronnie, because you're far enough removed from 35 that you sound a little valley girlish, and the vulnerability voice is a little different.
That's the origins of it though.
Yes. No, you're 100% right, but this is like Valley Girl 2.0.
I come from the valley origins of it, but it was I mean, that is where it started.
Yes. You come from the valley of the shadow of vulnerability.
The valley of the shadow of voices. I think I do agree with you that, yeah, for under 35 in that space, you know, so anything inspirational, yes, it is a requirement.
Anything inspirational, anything. So here's my problem. And this is what I was trying to convey to KK. I feel like being a man in the humanities, walking around without vulnerability voice, like I feel like just a caveman. You know what I mean? Like people are afraid of me. I'm walking around talking like this.
Because you're actually making like statements that are like definitive.
Well, dude, and yeah, just the sort of the timbre and the sound of my voice is like threatening to people or unsafe sounding. So I don't know what to do with that in light of my career. I feel like I'm kind of at a crossroads, is what I'm saying, boys.
It's true in different areas of ministry as well. Now, the more reformed you are, the more you can just bluntly say stuff.
You can sound like a dude.
Yeah. And that's acceptable. Right. But yeah, if people just make statements in the humanities and anything having to do with inspiration, leadership, coaching, if you just sort of make statements and you don't have the voice, which I'm not going to try to imitate.
Thank you.
You're welcome to listeners and co-hosts. I think you come off basically like a colossal jerk. That's the way you're perceived, even if you're just saying, I think this is true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I would come off as a colossal jerk most of the time, but I think the vulnerability voice is absolutely necessary. It even comes into sports podcasts. So the majority of the podcasts I listen to are sports podcasts, and there's one part of the Ringer NBA network.
Okay.
It's called The Mismatch.
Yeah.
Which has one of my favorite hosts and then one of the guys who does this voice. And so even when he's talking about player development or his favorite rookie, he sounds like he's all in his feelings. And then the other guy has this real raspy voice and is like, dude, you're so full of crap. And it's great. It just, they works well, but it makes its way into areas where it's just supposed to be analysis or argument or opinions. And it just ruins things.
Yeah. So I have a take on that too, Pipe. So for sports podcasts or sports shows, you can do vulnerability voice. Again, if you're under 35 and you have anything to do with analytics, you almost have to do vulnerability voice. You know what I mean? This is strange, man. It's strange new territory. It's almost something, you know, how people are using this pandemic to develop like side hustles and, you know, learn other languages. I feel like I need to develop vulnerability voice as a tool.
You need like Rosetta Stone for vulnerability voice?
I do. Somebody send me the CDs. So like, I'm sure they originated in Nashville.
The CDs. Like,
send me the CDs for how to learn vulnerability voice.
Send me
voice.
The cassettes. I'll take those.
Send me the cassettes, the 8-tracks. We got a couple more months left of this quarantine, I'm sure. I need to spend it using those tools to learn vulnerability voice. And I'm going to debut it next fall, dude. As I teach my classes, I'm no longer going to be a savage caveman, you know, Neanderthal like I am now. I'm going to come fall. In there. Wow. Yeah, next fall, baby. I'm going to throw some vulnerability voice at them. Yeah,
big, man. Your students don't have no clue what they're in.
Dude, please believe. Yeah, their minds are going to be blown. This is next level teaching stuff for me.
Ted, at the risk of stepping on a marital landmine, which if I'm going to, please warn me.
I've already stepped on all of them, so you're good.
Yeah, but I'm about to step on one in your marriage. What exactly was your wife saying to defend this fellow using this voice on this podcast?
So here's the thing I love about my wife. And she is a diehard listener to the program, by the way. She listens to every minute of every episode that we do. And she
loves
that's us.
Why I stated that question with great respect, on top of the fact that you are married to her and love her very much. And so she deserves respect anyway.
And I appreciate that. So my wife and I, like our Venn diagrams in terms of like personality, interest, it's almost complete overlap, right? We're very similar people. However, she's got a little bit of like the Bernie Sanders ethos in her that I don't share. And every once in a while. And dude, she would be the first to admit it, right? She would be the first to admit it. every once in a while that comes out. And honestly, like, I love that about her. I do. If she,
you gotta suss that out a little bit, Big T. What do you mean she has a little?
She's just a little more on the like socialist, like social justice tip. And I don't want to impugn her. I don't want all the angry, like, don't tread on me type dudes to come out of the woodwork and finger wag me about it.
Yeah, but, no, they're already coming out. It's done. So
It's done.
Boy, I mean, we haven't run them off by now. What have we been doing for the last 6 years?
Dude, that yacht has sailed, believe me. But but no, she's just got a little, she's got a little bit of that ethos. And to be honest, I dig it, you know, but I don't necessarily share those beliefs with her. So whenever I make fun of people like that, because I can't help myself, because I feel like, I feel like a lot of people who kind of wave that around, they're doing it because they want to be viewed in a certain way. And dude, this is all sort of jaundiced by the fact that I work with college students and 95% of what they do is for persona. So I hear this dude kind of swinging his vulnerability voice around on this podcast and talking about what a sensitive sweetheart he is. And I can't help but make fun of it a little bit, you know, and then a fight starts and like, I'm the bad guy. But I think I am probably the bad guy, you know, but I just can't help myself. You guys, that's another thing I need tapes for. I need I need cassettes about how to not make fun of certain people. And maybe I'll use those too.
Yeah, we just won't have a show after that. That's kind of the rub.
That's the rub.
Ted, can I throw out a, well, let's do coaching with our chief do stuff officer here for a moment.
Let's do it.
I've learned something about not making fun of people.
Okay.
And I'm not very good at not making fun of people, as listeners will know. Mm-hmm. But as I've traveled my journey, this is me being vulnerable without the voice.
Yeah.
Have been times when it's just been, I just have not been able, you know, due to trying to not get fired, for example, to make mm-hmm. fun of people who I would like to make fun of.
Yeah.
And I've learned that if you just don't say anything about those people for mm-hmm. like a year,
yeah,
you realize after a while, oh, they don't matter to me.
Yeah.
They don't matter in my life. Like, they matter as mm-hmm. people, but my interaction towards them just doesn't need to exist. And there's a certain amount of freedom in that. You also feel like you're missing out sometimes because there's some great opportunities that you have to pass up. But just sitting it out works if you do it consistently for a long time. That's how I survived working in the Southern Baptist Convention for 6 years.
Dude, not like
sitting it out for 6 years.
No sarcasm here. That is really good advice. And I need to get better at sitting things out, man. I truly do. And I have no beef with this podcast. So, you know, if that guy is listening or Annie F. Downs even is listening, like I have no beef with that. I have no issue. And I'm glad
she's a really good podcast host and interviewer. She's she just like, she asks good questions. She actually does her research beforehand. She's fun to him. I mean, what's that?
How close is she to hitting that like Rachel Hollis, Jen Hatmaker level? Like, is that within reach for her ever?
I don't even think she's going for that. She's mm-hmm. she leans on that. You know, she's very positive and encouraging and inspirational, but she's much more overtly committed to a local church.
Yeah,
biblical, and without sort of the like Hatmaker went on the route that you kind of anticipate, which is where you start to see some things loosen up in terms of biblical convictions. And then they get to the place where there's just sort of an open handedness about all things biblical. And that's not the case with Annie Downs. She's much more committed. So I don't even think that's what she's chasing. She's going to be more in the, I don't know, like a less reformed, like she's going to be in the Lifeway Women type of thing, where biblically faithful, but not like a theological scholar type.
Got you. Yeah, that helps. That helps a lot. So does she have books?
Yeah, she's written a few. I haven't read any of them because I'm not a woman and not really in the target audience. But
well, I don't like to assign those gender labels. That
I don't either, because I primarily read women's books. So thank
you. That feels a little close. That's close set there. Thinking.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to log off after that. I don't know if I can...
my apologies, guys. I didn't realize I was speaking in
well, you're basically just
respectful categories and stereotypes.
You're a caveman, essentially. You might as well be mm-hmm. swinging a club, But, you know,
I would have never thought that about Pipe. Would you have, Big T? That's so disappointing. That's so disappointing.
Yeah, exactly, dude. We need to shame him for it. That's but right.
I live on Twitter. I get shamed all the time.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Well, far be it from us boys to get too deep into shaming Piper, because we have business to conduct. And this is primarily a business podcast. This is a for-profit venture. And Piper, you have a sponsor to tell us about. So why don't you do that?
I do. And I have a sponsor to share with us, as well as a request for this sponsor in light of our conversation today. So okay. The sponsor is the Dwell app. It's an audio Bible app, so available on all mobile devices. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a different way to get into Scripture, Dwell is a great option. Multiple readers, multiple reading plans, different Bible versions. They have male readers and female readers. Sorry if that triggers you.
Oh, my gosh. Here we are back again.
Here we are with that. Wow.
Sorry, guys. They have readers of various genders. Better?
Better.
Okay. Yeah. As well as various cultural and ethnic backgrounds who bring different cultural flares to their reading. How's that? Did I do that in a way that was not?
That was just impressive, Pipe.
Okay,
wow.
Cool. But if you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, they have it set up to give our listeners or anybody who goes there a 33% discount on the subscription. There is a cost to the app, but it comes out to less than $2 a month. And so it's very affordable. And then they continue to build out their features and bring in new narrators and different things so that the experience doesn't get stale. Here is my request for Dwell to those who are listening from Dwell. And we know at least a couple of you like the show. Would you do a vulnerability voice Song of Solomon reading, please?
Oh, yes.
We can suggest some narrators if you need them. My guess is you know 1,000 sub-35 people exactly. Who could do it. So a vulnerability voice Song of Solomon would be delightful.
Well, you know, what I'm even willing to do a little Gen X Valley Boy on that one.
Nice. A little voice work. Ron's available.
So, all right, guys, I think I jumped the gun on that. I picked Song of Solomon because it amused me, but... Yeah. Is there a different book of the Bible that would be better to have invulnerability voice from Dwell?
Well, dude, I think you take the most violent Old Testament book of the Bible and you get it read in vulnerability voice, and then all of a sudden...
Like Isaiah?
As yeah. Then say. All like of a sudden, you've got a...
Man, Judges would be strong. You got like tent pegs through the head and fat guys getting stabbed and...
Tent pegs through the head? Like, fat guys getting stabbed?
You just add a little though. You have to add like an I guess.
That guy's getting stabbed.
I guess. Yes,
like it's a question mark.
Kind I mean, of. Like maybe he got stabbed.
Tent pegs.
To me.
Yeah.
You start a lot of sentences with that.
Yeah. To me. So what you're saying, Piper, is that we would get the Book of Judges in a way that would be palatable to men under the age of 35 who are probably in the humanities, then they could listen to Judges in a way that would not be an affront to them.
Let's broaden this out. I think it would also be men under the age of 35 whose social media profiles describe them as things like creatives.
Creatives, storytellers.
Storytellers use multiple hashtags, perhaps.
Activists.
They wear a lot of low profile flat brim hats. Mm-hmm.
Those Kristen Cluck.
What's that? And my wife. Oh, dude. I'm so getting into a fight over this episode.
Well, you can tell us about that next app.
Should I change my phone number so she can't text me and yell at me about this?
Exactly, dude. I'm just going to send her to you.
You know what, though? I don't even care. Send KK to me. I'd love a little back and forth, man.
That'd you guys awesome. Are instigators. Yeah. That's your problem.
Absolute.
But Pipe, that was a great promo read.
That
as
was
always.
A great promo.
And I think it's a great, this is a great way forward for Dwell. So I feel like we need a piece of the action on, they should have a special landing page, dwellapp.io/vulnerability voice. And anybody who signs up for the platform through that, we get an additional piece of the action.
Why? Because we're helping build their empire, Big T? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, dude. We're doing marketing. I mean, that's the nature of a sponsorship. We're doing marketing on their behalf.
Well, yeah, dude.
Very
strong.
Yeah, very strong. See, it's already working.
That naturally. That's you don't even have to put that on. It's just there.
Are you saying I don't even need the Rosetta Stone tapes for?
I don't even know if you do. Yeah, wow. I don't think you do. I think they're there. I think they're built in. They just need to be unleashed again.
I kind of want them though. I just want to have them. You know what I mean? I just want them in my. I want them in my tape collection. So when people come over and they look at my tapes,
wow! Look at those beautiful Rosetta Stones. They look mint, big T.
Dude, these are first edition Rosetta Stones.
Look at the wrapping still on them.
It's the original pressing. Yeah, yeah. I got those at Musicland in 1993. That would be great to have. So if anybody has Rosetta Stone Vulnerability Voice tapes, you know where to find me. Boys, this has been good radio.
It's been 24 minutes.
It's been longer than 24 minutes. How long have we gone? We've gone about an hour here, I think.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah. So, dude, that's
Cromo and Hollis. Yeah.
Everybody we disagree with and don't like. We're coded in her strength right now.
Yes, C-O-D-E-D.
I think I need to be coded. I feel mostly aflame right now.
Well, wow. Dude, you know what I want to do? I want to coat our listeners in radio strength. And I think that's really...
It's like a benediction.
Yeah, right. I'm holding my hands out right now.
Now, to him who is able.
To him who is able. Yo, dude, that's blasphemous. I take that back.
I fear for your soul right now, too.
Who does our post-production?
What about if we said to she who is able? Is that still blasphemous?
Man, we're jumping a lot of sharks, right? A lot of theological sharks right now.
Well, dude, my issue is I don't know if I have the power to coat our listeners in radio strength. Whoa. But I want them to know that's where my heart is. Right? That's what I'd like to do.
What if the three of us, like, do we have like a combined power? Is there a...
We do. I feel like we're superheroes coating people in radio strength. That's our
Wonder Twins with three of us.
Yeah.
We combine not to be Captain Planet, but to coat our listeners in radio power.
I feel like that could be a Megan Tennant original work of art. The three of us coding our listeners in radio power. I don't know.
Wow. It's really down to like geeky nerd level right now.
I don't want to tell anybody what to do, but that's a picture I would love to see. I'm just saying for myself. Boys, we've done what we always do in this program, in that we have wandered to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hey friend, I'm Brooke McLaughlin, host of the Everyday Prayers podcast, a ministry of Million Praying Moms, and I'm here to invite you to partner with God for the hearts of your children on the daily. Our goal at Everyday Prayers is to help moms understand and pray God's word. Join us each weekday as we share insights from God's word for today's Christian mom. Tune in to the Everyday Prayers podcast in your favorite app or by visiting lifeaudio.com.